In this final 15-minute segment, I'll continue to read from letters I have received from pastors concerning the issues of church, government, separation of church and state. This next letter was received by email on December 28, 2009, in response to one of my articles concerning church and state law. And it reads, Dear Gerald Finney, J.D., I'm the pastor of an independent Baptist church in Texas. I find your information very informative. Now comes my question. If our church is currently a 501c3, what can we do to leave the government's program? Would we face repercussions? Please, when you have time, advise me. Sincerely, in Christ, Pastor, and I will not give the name. My response, Dear Pastor, in order to properly advise you, I need to talk to you. There is absolutely no charge for my services. Should you decide to go forward, I do ask a love gift for my legal associate who does the groundwork. She is highly qualified, and I asked a love offering for her services since she has given her life to serving the Lord in this cause. You can call me at, and I gave my phone numbers, For His Glory, Gerald Finney. This pastor did call me, and we discussed this matter. I received the next letter I'm going to read on January 16, 2010. In response to my article, Abridged History of the First Amendment. And I read, Dear Gerald, I have been a fundamental Baptist pastor for almost 40 years. My dad was a IFB pastor for 50 years. The churches involved are or were all 501c3. I have never witnessed any government interference or encroachment into church affairs. And then he gives his name. This was my reply to him. Dear Pastor, there are many good pastors who have never studied either the biblical principles of church, state, and separation of church and state, or the facts about the nature of incorporation in 501c3. When a born-again believer does not do such a study, he is easily led astray in the matter of church organization, since he does not know or understand those very important biblical principles. Most of the fundamental Baptist churches in America are not following God's principles of organization for His churches. The Bible makes clear that God desires us to continue in His Word so that we may know the truth and to grow and proceed in knowledge in this spiritual warfare we are in. In fact, the civil government will not interfere in your church affairs as long as you abide by the rules you agreed to when you took the 501c3. When a church gets a 501c3 exemption, she violates biblical principles and grieves our Lord. In order to get the 501c3, a church must be a legal entity, such as a corporation. The facts about incorporation prove that for a church to incorporate violates many biblical principles and grieves our Lord. The heretical teaching that 501c3 and incorporation of churches is acceptable to God displeases our Lord and leads to further heresy and finally to apostasy. The steps in the downfall of a nation, according to the Bible, are religious apostasy, moral awfulness, and political anarchy. We are well into the third stage in America. Fundamental Baptist churches who have incorporated and obtained 501c3 status display the results of heresy to one degree or another. Of course, those churches do not even realize their error and the results, but the consequences of their ignorance, whether willful or not, is on display. Since they have no power of God or a deluded power of God, the world sees nothing in them that is attractive, nor do I or other knowledgeable Christians. I get into these matters in great detail in my books, audio teachings, and articles. For His Glory, Brother Gerald Finney, BBA, JD. And I further point out to him that he can go to churchandstatelaw.com for much more insights into these matters. And let me add, when a church gets a 501c3, she agrees to five rules that are already in place. Let me say, those rules were not there when 501c3 was initiated. The rules coming with 501c3 have been added by legislation and one by court decision. And let me say, those were added after churches already had the 501c3, and they can add further rules since the controlling partner of this agreement is the civil government. In response to my reply, this pastor wrote, Dear Brother Finney, I have annotated several comments below for your consideration. I find it of interest that you as a lawyer consider yourself to have greater understanding of Scripture than ordained men of God who have spent a lifetime studying the Word. And I want to comment real quick. Evidently, this pastor has not studied these issues. And I continue reading what he said. What would you think if I, as a layman to the legal arena, had read some books on law and therefore were making pronouncement about how lawyers should discharge their law practice? By the way, as the founding pastor of this church, I personally filled out the papers to incorporate with the state of Minnesota and then the 501c3 application myself and did not use a lawyer. The Minnesota not-for-profit papers are renewed each year or 3 years, whatever, on a 3x5 postcard or more recently a couple of clicks on the internet. I am aware of the benefits of incorporation and have never seen any of the supposed problems thereof in the real-life work of the church. This is my response to those comments. Dear Pastor, a lot of the ordained men of God who have studied the relevant principles agree with me. The problem is that many who do not agree with me have not studied the principles, facts, history, or legalities. Nor were they taught these matters in church, Bible college, or seminary, or by the Christian lawyers who make millions helping state churches or helping churches to become state churches. I have been saved since 1982. I was saved in a revival meeting at a non-incorporated, non-501c3 Baptist church. Of course, I felt the power of the Holy Ghost operating in that meeting. I had no idea that the church was non-incorporated or non-501c3 at that time. I knew nothing about such matters. For the first time in my life, I saw the power of God at work. And I had been in some other churches. I don't know if they were incorporated or not, but they probably were. Since that time, I have been faithful to church and faithful to studying the Bible. In addition to the teaching from my pastors, I followed the teachings of Dr. J. Vernon McGee for many years. I have been an active participant in many ministries, a faithful tither and giver, and so forth. In 2003, I began an intense study of the biblical principles of church, state, and separation of church and state. I have read many, many other books dealing with those issues and was called by God in 2005 to actively deal with those issues. I wrote my findings in my writings, beginning with the book, God Betrayed, The Biblical Principles and the American Application. Before I published it, I gave it to several pastors, including my own pastor, and asked for them to critique it. I received feedback from a few. My pastor said the book was okay to publish. After publishing the book, I gave copies to probably 50 or more pastors, missionaries, Bible teachers, and other Christians, besides those who have bought the book. I asked for honest feedback. I told everyone and continue to do so. Tell me where you believe I am wrong and I will be glad to have a congenial and honest discussion to see if you can convince me that I am wrong. The result has been that many have praised or agreed with the book. However, those Christians and pastors who are against it but cannot refute it or just do not take the time to study it get mad, usually as soon as they learn that I am crusading against churches becoming incorporated and getting 501c3 status or becoming legal entities in any way, and that I believe doing so is contrary to the will of God as laid out in His Word. I have met very few pastors, Christians, lawyers, or anyone else as a percentage who have done a study of the biblical principles of church, state, and separation of church and state. And I have met very few who have studied incorporation, 501c3, or the other methods of becoming a legal entity. Especially of note is that I have never met the pastor of an incorporated 501c3 church who has a clue about the relevant biblical principles and facts, both legal and historical. I see, for the most part, the blind leading the blind in incorporated 501c3 churches. It is easy for a church to incorporate and get a 501c3 exemption. It is just a matter of filling out forms. Anyone of average intelligence can fill out forms. Thank God you did not abuse God's money by hiring a lawyer to do that. However, understanding the law, facts, and biblical principles concerning what you are doing and what you have done is something entirely different. How many hours have you spent to understand these matters? I invite you to critique my books. In order to do that, you must read and study them, as well as the Word of God, with an open mind, as led by the Holy Spirit. It will be well worth the effort because Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Because he likens his church to his wife, his bride, over whom he desires to be the only head. Because he is jealous of his church, and so forth. Let me say that there are problems with incorporation in 501c3. But only one who is walking in the Spirit according to knowledge, wisdom, and understanding can see them. I am not your enemy. Actually, I was sent by God to help those who have an ear to hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 3:22. For his glory, Brother Gerald Finney. This next email letter was received March 26, 2010, in response to an article I wrote, Limited Liability and Other False Rationale for Church Incorporation. The pastor wrote, "The heart of God is for his bride and the winning of the lost, not fighting the government. Thank you." Here was my response. Dear brother, I agree with you when you said the heart of God is for his bride and the winning of the lost, not fighting the government. The relationship between Christ and his church, his wife, his bride, is extremely important to him. See, for example, Ephesians 5:22 through 33. That is what this is all about. I would recommend reading the opening article on the welcome page of churchandstatelaw.com. I did not write that article, but that article offers great insight. The heart of God, my friend, is that we should glorify him, love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we do that, we will be the greatest soul winners in the world. I am not for fighting the government either. My message is to the churches. Our Lord wants his pastors and churches to proceed with knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. He wants his churches under him only. Churches in America can do that without persecution. They can do that without fighting the government. Yet many American churches and pastors are so deceived that they wrongly think they are gaining worldly advantages by incorporation in 501c3. Not only are they losing many of the rights recognized by the First Amendment as well as by state constitutional provisions and laws, they are grieving our Lord when they put themselves, at least to some degree, under another lover. I understand that many Christians have been deceived about these matters. I also understand that most of those who have been deceived are like the Pharisees. Their minds are closed to the truth on these matters. They have never studied the issues, and they will not study the issues. I will continue to proclaim the truths of the Word of God to those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. With love, in Christ, Gerald Finney, Believer, BBA, JD. This next letter from a pastor was written to me in response to the article, Does God and Our Civil Government Require Churches to Get 501c3? He writes, "Thanks for the information. I am involved in missions now after over 50 years in church-related ministry. We just spent a few years in a missions church in the bush of Alaska. Also involved with starting churches in the Dominican Republic. The second one will have its first service the last Sunday of this month. The first started 1 year ago this month, has seen about 300 saved, and the church family attendance is over 250 a month in all services and ministries. The missionaries we work with are independent, fundamental from Costa Rica, doing a great ministry in these last days. Again, thank you." And he gives his name. That letter was received March 9th, 2010. My response to him was this, "Dear Doctor, thanks for the email. It was a great blessing to me. Missionaries are my heroes. Let me know if I can ever be of help in any way. For his glory, Brother Gerald Finney." Next week I will begin a study of this subject, the most important thing, loving God and our winning souls. This is the most important consideration in keeping a church totally separate from the civil government. Many pastors say that the issue of disengaging a church from civil government is an important one, but is not the most important, they will say. They'll tell you the most important thing is winning souls, and that if it's impractical to disentangle a church from civil government, just go on and do the best you can, because the most important thing is winning souls. This next series will prove from the Bible that the most important thing is loving God. And if a church loves God with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength, she will disentangle herself from civil government, and she will also have a great burden for winning souls. Please join me next Sunday at this same time.